Watcher, it's Mike Wynn with this week's The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. And on the assumption that nobody's ever been fired for playing Paul Desmond, here he is. Title song from a 62 LP called Desmond Blue, fusingly later released on CD as Late Lament, with three previously unissued tracks. This is one of a series of five RCA LPs that Desmond recorded at Webster Hall in New York City with guitarist Jim Hall, and the whole collection is of this very high standard. But then again, did Paul Desmond ever make a less than brilliant recording? Desmond alto, Hall guitar, as we already know, Albert Richman, French horn, Stan Webb and Romeo Penk, woodwinds, Gloria Agostini, harp, Milt Hinton, bass and Robert Thomas, drums. It's a piano solo next, from the same period. Red Garland made this April 1960 LP for Moodsville, and because it's all solo piano numbers, it's called Red Alone. I've got some 60 Red Garland albums where he's the leader, and I think that's the only one where he plays solo piano throughout. The song was When Your Lover Has Gone, which was written in 1931 by Ina Aaron Swan, and it's now an established jazz standard. You probably noted the gentle fade-out, I hope you did. It was a long, long track. In every show, we seem to go to Paris at least once. Let's dip into a Dizzy Gillespie concert from 1953. Thank you. Dizzy Gillespie had a real love affair with Paris, and Paris loved him back in equal measure. He first appeared there in 1938 when he was with Teddy Hill's orchestra. Inevitably, there was then a gap of some 10 years during and immediately after World War II. But from then on, you couldn't keep Diz away from the City of Lights. This is a sell-out concert at the famous Salle Pleyel in Paris, Feb 53. I've chosen probably the most restrained number of the entire concert. Joe Bebop Carroll joins Diz on numerous vocals, and Sarah Vaughan comes on for Embraceable You. It's a great gig. And that was the Gershwin's 1937 song, They Can't Take That Away From Me, introduced in that same year by Fred Astaire in Shall We Dance. Diz trumpet, Bill Graham baritone, the very young Wade Legg on piano, Lou Hackney bass, and Al Jones drums. I've always loved the song, softly, as in a morning sunrise, but it's rarely performed as a vocal.
Bye.
That's from Kingston-on-Thames, born Liz Fletcher's debut album in 1997. It's the Hammerstein-Romberg classic Softly, as in a morning sunrise. And that came from the 1928 operetta The New Moon. And that was certainly an updated version. And amazingly, it's Liz Fletcher's first outing on our show. Both her parents were singers and her stepfather a saxophonist. This was recorded at the Porcupine Studios in Nottingham with Matt Waite's tenor, Mark John's guitar, Robin Asplund on piano, Malcolm Crease bass and Mark Parnell drums. And Mark is, yes, the youngest son of the famous British drummer bandleader Jack Parnell. The young Mark was classically trained on the piano, but then at the age of 16, he had a dream he was playing drums at a gig, and when he woke up, he understood the whole concept of playing a drum kit, and so it proved to be. Later that very morning, he borrowed a drum kit, without permission, I should add, and he could indeed play. His father suggested a drum teacher, but at the very first lesson, the teacher told him he knew everything there was to know. Is that DNA or what? It's over to you, Duke.
And now, Black Butterfly. Solos by Johnny Hodges. Thank you.
I say, it's that Ellington concert in Rotterdam in November 69 that we also featured last week. Johnny Hodges, Black Butterfly, The Real Thing. And next, if you'll excuse me, let's funk it up a bit. From an album recorded in 2000 called Swinging London. And yes, it did conjure up those distant but fun days, although it did come dangerously close to the Muzak label a couple of times. That was JTQ, James Taylor Quartet, Taylor himself on the Hammond organ, David Taylor guitar, John Wilmot and Dominic Glover trumpets, Gary Crockett bass and Neil Robertson drums. To add further to the Taylor clan, there was also Mick Taylor, once of the Rolling Stones, and he adds the sitar to a couple of the tracks. That was a James Taylor compo, The Numbers. Next, Abbey Road Blues. Now, where was that recorded? Pianist, band leader, composer Laurie Holloway wrote that song Abbey Road Blues as he led his trio in 2000. Laurie on piano, of course, Dave Olney on bass and the brilliant Martin Drew drums. And inevitably, there's a photo of the three of them crossing Abbey Road via that famous zebra crossing. I've forgotten just how big Martin Drew was towards the end of his life. Laurie Holloway, what do we in the UK first think of when his name pops up? I bet it's the Michael Parkinson Show. He's long been associated with the BBC and has been musical director for a variety of entertainers, Bob Monkhouse, Ronnie Corbett, Dame Edna, but also for singers like Judy Garland, Liza Minnelli, Cleo Lane, Mel Torme, and played with the likes of Jerry Mulligan, Clark Terry, John Dankworth, J.J. Johnson, Bob Brookmeyer. And, on top of all that, he's a terrific composer. Let's stay with the Brits.
Thank you.
recorded at Clown's Pocket Studio in Bexley, Kent, Jan 2015. That was called Swing Thing, written by the leader of this session, Derek Nash, on baritone for that song, and various other smaller saxophones on the other tracks. It was written to feature the wonderful brushes of drummer Sebastian de Crom. Martin Shaw makes a guest appearance with his muted trumpet, David Newton, always great value on piano, and Jeff Gascoigne, bass, who also provided the artwork for the album. And the Brits keep coming this week. Hush, written by the forever smiling Nikki Iles and recorded by her in New York in September 2010. The bassist Rufus Reed and the drummer Jeff Williams both live in New York, so Dunstable-born Nikki happily made the trip over to record this album, called Hush, incidentally, and available on Basho Records. Nikki Iles went to Leeds College of Music and then lived in Yorkshire for a number of years. Then she moved to London following a nasty late-night car crash so that she could cut down on her mileage to gigs, and now lives in King's Langley, which probably doesn't mean too much to most of you, but is just down the road from me. The liner notes have pictures of Nikki smiling, but then again, I've never seen a photo of her not smiling. And even live, she still is always smiling. And it's a light-up-the-room smile. I could do that, but I would need a torch. Who's this? Difficult One. Mm-hmm. that certainly deserves at least one wow. That was Gene Ammons and a gold star, if you recognised him. That was a number from his June 1960 Rudy Van Gelder recorded prestige LP Boss Tenor. That was the old standard My Romance, but played like I've never heard it before. Tenorman Gene Ammons is more usually bluesy and even hard-blowing, but what a lovely, lovely rendition as the slowest of slow ballads. Somehow Ammons comes from both the Coleman Hawkins and the Lester Young school of tenor men, and they are so different. Tommy Flanagan was on piano, Doug Watkins bass, Arthur Taylor drums, Ray Barretto conga. I think we can squeeze in two more, if I'm quiet. Recorded in Oxford, Feb 2003, but coincidentally mastered by Derek Nash at Clown's Pocket Studio in Bexley. Small world, huh? The guitars of Pete Oxley, the Brit, and the Argentinian Luis D'Agostino. The song was Milonguera, and the album's called The Play of Light. And that should just give us time to hear Epistrophe, one of Thelonious Monk's first compos, first recorded in 1941. But listen to this particular lineup: Monk on piano, John Coltrane tenor, Coleman Hawkins tenor, Gigi Grice alto, Ray Copeland trumpet, Wilbur Ware bass, Art Blakey drums. This was recorded June 57.
Thank you.
And sadly, that's it. But really hope you've enjoyed all the numbers and that you'll be back with me, Mike Wynn, next week for another The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. Until then, please take care. Keep well.